Not Just Football with Cam Hayward is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
Today, we have a special guest in Franco Harris. Unfortunately, he passed away Wednesday morning, but we were very blessed to be able to talk to him Tuesday afternoon. And we weren't sure if we were going to even air this, but through the family's blessing, they thought we could share his joy because he was very excited to be on, and we got to learn a lot and have a little bit of fun. So please take a listen and just enjoy. This episode is dedicated to Franco Harris. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Not Just Football with Cam Hayward. I, of course, am your host, number 97, Cam Hayward. And with me, as always, my producer and longtime friend, Hayden Walsh. And today, we have a special guest. It's not just because it's the anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. It's not just he's a Hall of Famer. It's not just because he's a Pittsburgh Steeler. But it's because it's Franco Harris. Thank you so much for coming on today, brother.
My pleasure, Cam. And I want to say the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception.
50 there you go.
Years. I just shake my head.
50. Can you believe it's 50 years?
No, I can't. I mean, I'm still trying to. 50 years. Come on. That's a long time. But I'm still around to enjoy it. So
yes, you are. Can you take us back through that memory? Can you take us back through that iconic play?
Oh, my gosh, Cam. You know, there's so much of it that I can't actually remember, right? But I do watch the film, and I do try to put the pieces together. But I guess I want to say that, and, like, I'll start out with 1972. I'm a rookie, right? Mm-hmm. The last winning season for the Steelers recently was 1963. That was their last winning season. And here we are in 1972, and we go 11-3. How incredible is that? And the three games we lost by a total of 11 points. Three games. So we go into the playoffs, right? Second time in Steelers' 40-year history. Second time in about 40 years, they go to the playoffs. And we're playing the Oakland Raiders, and we're winning, right? 6-0, you know, in the fourth quarter. It was 0-0 until the third quarter. Tough defensive game. Both defenses were playing incredible. And then the last 2 minutes, two incredible offensive plays happen. We're winning 6-0. Kenny Stabler makes this play, right? And 35-40 yards for a touchdown, and they go ahead 7-6. And here we are, you know, just a minute something away from winning the first playoff game ever for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now it all seemed lost. And, so we get the ball on the ensuing kickoff, and it comes down to fourth down, 22 seconds. And Bradshaw calls that play 66 halfback option. And I go into the huddle telling myself, Franco, this is probably the last play of the season, play it to the end. You know, it's a good season, but probably last play of the season. And my assignment on that play is to back up my lineman with I'm an extra man for blocking. Well, yeah, I know you're laughing at my blocking game. So as the play developed, Bradshaw has to scramble, right? The blocking breaks down. He has to scramble. Luckily, Bradshaw, big, strong guy. He's able to fight the defenders off. And he throws the ball downfield. Now, right before that, I tell myself to release maybe an outlet pass, right? And when he threw the ball, I tell myself, go to the ball, go to the ball. That's what Joe Paterno always preached to us at Penn State. Go to the ball, make something happen, you know, be a part of it. And I start going to the ball, and I remember nothing else. That's what blows my mind. I start going to the ball, and I remember nothing. And I watch the film, and I say, well, people normally don't catch a low ball like that. You know what I mean? And like to catch it like that and not break stride, is pretty interesting. And also having, you know, kind of looking up to get a lay of the land. And so it was, you know, like I try to understand how that happened because I have no visual of the ball. I have no thoughts of do this, do that. And and my first memory is stiff-arming Jimmy Warren as Jimmy Warren approached me on the sideline. And my first memory is having myself tell myself, get into the end zone. Don't even attempt a field goal. Get into the end zone. And and so luckily I was able to stiff arm Jimmy Warren and get into the end zone, and then all craziness broke loose. Nobody knew what was going on, and but it was a lot of craziness. The fans came onto the field. It was a lot of emotion right then and there, and the refs tried to, you know, take hold of it, but it was. It was a, you know, just a lot of, you know, just a lot of emotion, you know, a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
And you know, and no one knew what was going on.
It's crazy you think about it. I don't even know how you could come off a high like that. Like, now you got another game to worry about after you just won this game. It's like, coach, I just did all I did, all I could. And got you the win. And now you want me to go play another game. I don't even know how you can focus for the next game.
Well, interesting. I you know, like I already set up to me to go home after the game and spend Christmas with my family in Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after the game, you know, a lot of hoopla, but I go to the airport. And I go into the airport and I walk into this area of food area, restaurant or cafeteria, like whatever. And I feel this chill in the air.
Hmm.
The whole Oakland Raider team is sitting down there. As I walk into this restaurant, I go, uh-oh. And everybody and it got real quiet, and I said the whole Raider team was just sitting in there, and eventually one guy came up to say hello to me, Mike Ciani, who I knew from the college All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And but I turned around and got out of there real quick and home and came back. And as you said, to get ready for the championship game. Now, this is my rookie year, right?
Right.
And we're going to the championship game, one game away from the Super Bowl. How exciting is that? And so this is, what, December 30th, December 31st. We're playing Miami. I walked out for warm-ups. Sunny and 65 degrees. Get out of here. Miami's in town in Pittsburgh and end of December and sunny and 65 degrees. I said, this is not a good omen. But you know what? But you know what? They had to run defeated team then. And like I would say, we gave them a good game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were winning for a while, but we just weren't ready yet. We weren't ready yet, and you know, they went on through their undefeated season, which I think was great. You know, to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But like it really, it gave us a taste, and little did we know, it gave us a taste for what was to come. Mm. Who would have ever thought that we would, and you know, and in the next 8 years, go to like 6 championship games and win 4 Super Bowls, and I mean, who would have ever thought that that this laid the foundation for what was to come?
Mm. Yeah, you know, you guys were the dynasty.
Oh, it was incredible. And in 1972, as I mentioned, you know, everything just clicked. Our defense, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, did they start playing unbelievable ball. And now we're clicking on offense. We're passing, running, scoring. Mm. And we're really beating some of the great teams, right?
Right.
And once you start doing that, it gives you that extra, that other level of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that confidence just builds. And that's what started to happen, that we said, hey, we're a pretty good football team.
Yeah. What would you say is the lasting memory from that championship run you guys had throughout those 8 years, throughout the decade?
Well, you know what? It was, you know, from 1972 to, 1980, you know, those 8 years was incredible. There was, and it was so much fun. And we were doing things that no other team was, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we had fun, and like I want to say that we knew we were a great football team, but we weren't cocky, mm. you know, and we kept things in perspective, that, you know, we didn't get full of ourselves. But what was interesting, Kim, is that I guess I want to say this, that we stayed hungry. Mm. When? I mean, we wanted to keep on winning like that, and that was a great feeling, you know, still being hungry for that.
Mm-hmm. So you brought up the airport, right? How many times do you walk past your own statue?
Every time I'm in the airport, I say hello to that. You know, hey, Franco, looking good there, buddy. You know, that's, I think it was maybe around 18 years ago, they talked to me about putting the statue up, right? And like they wanted one iconic play, and they decided the Immaculate Reception. And they told me, well, you know, like it's going to probably be up for, it'll probably be there for 6 to 9 months. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine. like what, 18 years later or something like that, and to that statue, you know, they, you know, then George Washington and then Nellie Bly, you know what I mean? So, but I have to admit that's so like I want to mention this to you, Cam. So, you know, I have a football buddy of mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
He flew into town. This was probably maybe 7-8 years ago. He flew into town, and he had one of these air pieces, you know, foam, but he did just in his ear.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So he's around, you know, and he called me with this piece in his ear, and he's looking at the statue, and he's talking to me while he's looking at the statue, and he said, hey, Franco, man, I'm like, man, you know, it's interesting how, you know, the resemblance is. Oh, hey, Franco, man, your shoes are. And all of a sudden people start looking at him because he wasn't, right? He wasn't on the phone, you know, and he was saying, hey, and all of a sudden he noticed, like, whoops. Frankly, people think I'm crazy. I'm talking to you.
You know?
So, like it's a lot of, you know, a lot of fun having that. And you know, it's a good thing. People want to take pictures, and and a lot of times when I'm going by, you know, snap pictures with people, you know, those are, you know, some good memories. You know what I mean? Like it's all about memories and connections. You know what I mean? And
So, still there. It's going to remain there forever. We would boycott that place if they took it down. And you said memories, and there's going to be a really special memory this week. They're going to retire your jersey, number 32, at the Raiders game this weekend. And how exciting is to just be immortalized again after being in the Hall of Fame, immaculate reception. Now we get to get the Franco jersey up in the rafters. We're in the stands.
Well, like Cam, you know, I just so happen to be following two defensive tackles, right?
No slouches. Some of the best ever do it.
So I said, well, you know what? When I had lunch with Art, and Art broke the news to me, I was just totally taken by surprise. And I just said, you know, what an honor, you know, to have my jersey retired. And then all the connections to it, that we're going to retire it on December 24th, you know, December 23rd weekend. And also, you know, like a Raider game, you know, you know, that we're going, you know, to retire it. So, like, I mean, that's, it is an incredible honor. The third jersey in 90 years of Steelers football. The third in 90 years. And the first offensive player. I said, I have to follow those defensive tackles, I know. but you know, the first offensive player. So that's quite an honor because, as you know, during our team in the 70s, out of the 22 starters, we have 10 Hall of Famers. And you know, that says a lot.
Speaks for itself.
So I think everything that shines on me really shines on our team of the 70s. You know what I mean? It really was all about team. And wow, did we have a team? And like when the, you know, like say when our, you know, when our offense wasn't doing, our defense picked it up. You know what I mean? But it was our defense not doing it, and the offense had to pick it up.
With Caesar Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesar Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks, like free stays at iconic Caesar properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars. Up to $1,250, download the app with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. 21 plus only, offer valid, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users, first $10 wager only, must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of quality wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe Bossier City in Harrah's, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Who is the one guy on the team that isn't in the Hall of Fame that should be in?
I think there's two that should be there. LC Greenwood.
Yes.
And Andy Russell.
Mm.
Once again, two defensive guys.
Yeah.
But I think.
So you're telling me the defense was always prepared with all those Hall of Famers over there.
and you know, during practice, they weren't allowed to touch me.
Oh.
And don't even think about it, guys. They wanted to hit me so bad.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall just for the practices alone, because I've heard Tunch and Wolf talk about it going against Mean Joe. Those practices had to be legendary.
Oh my gosh. You know, they go, but you know, like, as I said, they wanted to hit me, but I said, no way, guys, no way, you know, but you know what, like, I look back on those days, you know, how we prepared our mental attitude, our mm-hmm. drive and determination, and our drive and determination for that long. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. what made it so nice. And I also want to say that, you know, 1972 until today, 50 years later, that it's not only the 70s, it's the teams that followed that really kept, you know, I guess, as Mike Thomas said, the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes us feel so good and feel so proud, you know, that that Steeler football has maintained that. And Steeler Nation is, wow, incredible. As you know, Cam, when you travel around the country, who would have thought that Steeler, you know, but so like the last 50 years has really been incredible, and so I always want to thank the team that followed for maintaining that standard.
Well, you gotta, for us, you know, as current team, you know, I think we're just very thankful for you guys, because Steelers Nation isn't what it is without teams like you guys. And you guys grew the brand. You know, it's funny. There was only two teams, I feel like, that everybody had jerseys for. It was the Cowboys and the Steelers. And so I like seeing more Steelers fans than Cowboys fans. And, you know, there's just it's really awesome to go to these different stadiums. And, you know, they're saying, oh, I became a Steelers fan in the 70s. And, you know, it's grown so much. And to be part of the Steelers, you just, you know, you always feel like you have a home field advantage with all the fans.
Right. And you know, it's interesting, because the first 40 years of the Steelers, they were the worst team in NFL history.
Mm.
I believe in their first 40 years, I believe they only had 9 winning seasons.
Whew.
In 40 years. And as I mentioned, the last one before my rookie year, in 1972, I think it was 1963, almost 10 years earlier, was their last winning season.
Wow.
And so you look at their first 40 years and the next 50, just incredible that the, you know, that how it turned and where we are now. And, you know, like, it just, as I said, it just makes us proud and makes us feel good that Steeler football still, you know what I mean?
So definitely
makes us feel good. And you know, but I do want to say, you know, if I was out there, you wouldn't be able to touch me either. I don't want you to. Don't even think
because of the rules, or just because we couldn't touch you.
I mean, that's Franco's rule, you know.
Wait, was that Chuck Knoll's rule, Franco, or was that your rule? The defense couldn't touch you.
No, that was my rule. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it.
And I'll give you a nice two-hand tug.
That is acceptable. That's acceptable.
Okay. So I want to bring up one thing. You know, talk about Chuck Knoll and the work he did with you guys, and you know, to have that many Hall of Famers. You know, I think it's you had all the talent in the world, but you know, talent doesn't always win. How did he mold you guys to work together?
Well, I want to go back, and I guess it'd be 1969 when Chuck Knoll became the head coach. Mm-hmm. And his first player that he drafted was Joe Green. And like, there's no doubt about it, Joe Green came in with an attitude, and attitude that he hate to lose. And you know, there were times when Joe was going to quit and do this and that because, you know, things just weren't going well. And he likes to win. And that was Chuck Knoll's first ever draft pick. And I think that set the tone for Chuck that, you know, we want people who have that burning desire to win. That's what we want to do. We want to win. You know, it's our job as coaches to prepare you, to give you a good game plan, to get you ready. But once you hit that field, you have to give everything that you have to win this football game. And like, as I said, you know, that burning desire, you know, kept us going. And also, you know, it was fun. And I have to admit, when you're winning, it is fun. And we had some, you know, some good guys. And, you know, when you look at that steel curtain, you know, Joe, Dwight, LC, and Ernie, you know, and unfortunately, you know, only Joe is, you know, the last surviving steel curtain. But, you know, like as I mentioned, at certain times, our defense led the charge, and at certain times, our offense led the charge. But we always had someone or some part of the team that would step up and make the play, make something happen, try to pick the other guys up. And you know, Chuck was very fair, but he was demanding. But that was all right.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's part of it, you know, where expectations have to be a part of it. And like, I guess I want to say that, in 1970, they drafted Terry Bradshaw number one. Okay. Cause like in Joe Green's first year, Cam, there were 1 win and 13 losses.
Oh.
One, and then I think I remember, Joe got kicked out of 5 games. out of the 14 games, he got kicked out of five because he just hated to lose.
Yeah.
And then the second year, Bradshaw came, and it was, they were five, you know, they were 5-9 and 70. And then 1971, they were 6-8. So, you know, three losing seasons with Chuck in the beginning. But then I said in 1972, if you can believe it, 11-3.
Mm.
And the three games we lost were a total of 11 points. So, like that said, you know, so luckily, how lucky am I? By the fourth year of Chuck Noll and Joe Green, it all came together. You know what I mean?
And we went. You were the missing piece.
With that.
You were the missing piece.
Oh, right. But I'm saying, you know, went all the way to the championship game. You know, to have that taste in your mouth, one game away from the Super Bowl. And that was like, wow. Man, but as I said, it left that taste in our mouth. And luckily, we were able to satisfy that taste.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we did.
Yes, sir. So, you know, four-time Super Bowl champion, 9-time Pro Bowler, 13 seasons in the NFL. What was the secret to your longevity in the NFL?
Okay, I know you're going to say run out of bounds.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, you brought it up. You brought it up. We thought it, but you brought it up.
I really worked hard to stay in great shape. That was number one. And I tell you what, to be a running back and navigate through the tackles, that's incredible. It really is. But I loved it. And defense, right? It's nothing like a big hit. Well, you know, for running back, nothing like a great run. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's a short run, but also I love to break one. And it's funny, I always felt that I'm gonna break a run. And I trained to be able to do it in the fourth quarter. That's what I trained for. I said, when other people are tired, Franco, you have to make something happen. You have to break one. And I can't tell you how many times in the fourth quarter I'm able to break a run or do something like that. But I had this philosophy, you know, talking about the sidelines, you know, that one thing I always noticed watching films, that most people had their knees blown out at the sidelines, that people always go at your knees. I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, like I've seen guys on the sideline, all the defenders go at your knees, they go at your, you know, knock you out of bounds, they go at your knees and that kind of stuff back in the day. You know, I'm not sure so much now. And I just saw a lot of knee injuries for that. And so if I'm running at an angle, and I guess NFL films covered me on that, right? You know, I said, Frank, we're always going to, and every time they showed me going out of bounds, every time, if you check it out, I mean, it just makes me laugh. Well, I shouldn't say it's every time, but a lot of it was after I gained 10, 15, 20 yards and I'm running at an angle, you know what I mean? And I'm telling myself, okay, I don't need to plant and get a tough first, you know, get a tough yard for a first down or anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And because when I'm running at an angle like that, if I don't have to, I'm not going to plant my knee and try to turn up. And, you know, if you do that at the wrong time, if you plant and boom, there goes your knees. And So that was just a philosophy that I had. You know, wasn't anything that you know just happened when I was going at an angle. You know, like I ran a lot in between the tackles, but you know, but when I ran at an angle and I'm going towards the sidelines, I never wanted to plant, and you know, because you know, if you plant the wrong time, somebody, you know, boom, right? And look, man, sure. I'm probably still can race you in a 40. You know,
you can race me, definitely. Yes, sir. Franco, give me your welcome to the NFL moment.
Oh my gosh. So I come in late to training camp because of the college all-star game that they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you come in the week of the first preseason game. Mm-hmm. So I come in the week of the first preseason game and I'm saying, okay, I've just had 3 days of practice. You know, I'm not going to, you know, play much wrong. You know what I mean? And so they put me on the kickoff return team, right? And back then they had two guys on the, you know, back in, you know, back receiving the kickoffs, not just one. They had two guys. And so I'm back there with the other guy. I can't remember who the other guy was. And I'm saying to myself, oh Lord, please don't let that ball come to me. And you know, you do that, and man, ball came right to me. I ran up in there and I got hit so hard. That was, oh my God. And that was an eye opener. And that was a welcome to the NFL. And then it's interesting. Then in the fourth quarter, you know, they put me in a few plays to run and I did okay. And like I went on to have a decent preseason, right? Okay, then the first regular season game, we're playing the Oakland Raiders, right? And the people are, you know, first regular season game, I'm a rookie. And I had to start because two running backs were injured. Here I am, a rookie, and I have to start. First regular season game. And I'm saying to myself, okay, you had a, you know, decent preseason. You should be all right. Wrong. Oh, my gosh. The speed, the violence, the hitting, the attitude in that first regular season. It was like night and day, the preseason. Oh. Man, you know, I'm on the bottom of the pile. They're punching under the pile and saying, we're going to kill you, rookie. I'm saying, oh, my God. You know?
And it was probably the assassin, Jack Tatum, wasn't it?
What's that?
It was probably the assassin, Jack Tatum, wasn't it?
Oh, like Jack was in there, no doubt about it. All those Raiders were hitting me doing, you know, like I think I had like 10 carries for 29 yards or something like that. And so that wasn't too good. And then the next week, I think I fumbled, so I still had to start, and that didn't go well. And now I'm in the doghouse, right? And the next game, you know, they really didn't put me in. And I'm telling myself, Franco, don't lose confidence in yourself. And then, like, the fourth game, they really didn't play me. But, you know, like, I just didn't lose confidence in myself. I said, Franco, just, you know, keep working out. You know, keep sharp. Keep that, you know. Then it's funny, you know, like, well, not funny, but I made a commitment to myself, right? You know, just to myself. I said, the next time they put me in, they'll never take me out. That's what I said. And so this is the fifth game of the season, and I can't remember who got hurt. Harris, get in there, right? First 100-yard game, first NFL touchdown. And for the rest of those nine games, went on to become Rookie of the Year, as you mentioned, Cam. You know, so, you know, so you can, you know, you can change things if you put your mind to it.
Yes, sir.
You know, like if you don't lose faith in yourself and you know, you know, keep working towards it. You know, all of us have challenging times at times, right? You know,
sir.
That test us of, you know, like of who we are and, you know, what you're going to be. You're going to quit or you're going to step up.
Yes, sir.
And luckily, I decided to step up.
And you stepped up in a big way.
And, you know, and it worked out all right. You know, I'm saying, you know, a year here and there, you know, injuries play a factor and all that kind of stuff, you know. But you know, I look over, I said, wow, you know, what a career, you know. And I love running between those tackles, no matter what you say about me running out of bounds. Yeah.
You said it, not me. Not me.
Franco, who's your favorite current running back to watch in the current NFL?
Oh wow. Well,
Dana giving you answers over there.
I was gonna say, I think Najee. You got to cheat. You get help over there.
I'm a big Najee fan. He runs tough. You know, like I still think he needs some help with some things, but you know, he's a tough runner.
He is.
But you know,
you like the big backs. You like the Derrick Henry types.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, Derrick Henry. I have to admit, I do like what he brings. I mean, not only power, but speed and you know, he that's what I was thinking about more than any was, you know, Derrick Henry, you know, that's who I, really like to watch. You know, he makes things happen. You know what I mean?
Is he emulating you though?
No.
Who's the one running back you think reminds you of yourself?
No, I don't. and you know, with myself being almost 6'3", I came in the league 222. You know, usually stayed around 225. People thought I was like 240, 250. You know, big bruising type of back. But no, I was slender and I said almost 6'3". So and you know, I did not have the legs of Earl Campbell. You know, didn't have the speed of OJ. Didn't have the move of Gale Sayers. But in a way, I had some of a little bit of all that.
Yes, sir.
That I always told myself, I'm not going to be caught from behind, which I wasn't caught from behind. I mean, once I got out in front, boom. And making the moves and making cuts in between tackles. Absolutely. Now I have to admit, the guys never knew where I was going to run. They had no clue where I was going to run. You know, our P10 right up the middle, right up the middle, right over center. You know how many times I broke that all around, all outside the tackle and outside the defensive end? Maybe about every time. but like the way I ran by keys. And I watched the defense, just, you know, like I watched the defense. And so I knew if a defense isn't going to ram. I know a linebacker is going to scrape. Like I watch his first step. And then, like, just take, like, I'm going up the middle. Well, if Curly Culp is in there, right, and he's plugging that middle, like, I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to just run up in there and get 2-3 yards. I'm going to bounce it, bounce it, bounce it. And I can't tell you how many big runs I made by getting my keys by, and you know, if, you know, and I had, you know, I read the defensive end linebackers, and it was real quick, right? And it, like, on my first step, I'm by that first defensive guy. I already know what he's going to do. I have my key. Now I know if I'm going in or out, and then my next step, I'm on that second key, you know, to see what that guy's doing. And so I did a lot of quick reading out there. Boom, 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 boom. You know, it's so fast. And luckily I was able to get these fast keys. And trying to think in training camp, why everybody was saying, Franco, you're loafing. Everybody was saying, I'm loafing, right? And I'm trying to figure this out. I'm saying, I work hard. Why are they saying I'm loafing? You know, and like they said, you go to the line, you kind of stop. And then when we stop, then you run past us. We stop. and I was trying to figure this out. And then I figured out, I said, okay, like when I get the ball in practice, I'm getting my keys and I'm figuring out my keys I'm not going real, like I'm not just running to a hole because this gap is where you're supposed to run because that's where the hole's going to be. Well, you know, the defense doesn't say that, right? You're going to have this hole there, right? Defense is not going to go for that. And I'm telling myself, okay, if he does this, I'm doing this. And I'm getting all my keys, but I didn't know I was going that slow. But then come game time, man, it's boom, 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 boom. You know, it just changes. All of a sudden, all my keys are in fast action and fast results and you know, go this way, go that way, go this way, go that way. Boom, 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 boom. And I have to admit, a lot of times that's how I made some big runs in the fourth quarter. You know, make things happen because every play is designed to make a touchdown, right? Everybody has that perfect block. They make that perfect block. I'm going to get a touchdown every play. Right. But there's a thing called that defense over there, and you guys are disruptors, and you know, and your thing is to get your keys and disrupt that, and but you have your keys also, right? You know, you have your keys, and so I read all these keys, and you know that's, and to me that made it fun. It made running fun. But now, if it's 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, no, you know, like, you know, hey, no, I mean, you get that. But if it's like, you know, 2nd and 6, 2nd and 5, you know, or like 1st and 10, hey, man, I'm going for the big one. You know?
I feel it.
Yeah.
So, 2 last questions. First question, I'll go. Immaculate marinara pasta sauce in the Cam's Blitz Mix.
And what?
Are those the perfect – in the Cam's Blitz Mix, are those the perfect items for your grocery list this Christmas season?
Absolutely. Did you see that picture?
Yes, I did. I saw the picture you holding the Blitz Mix, but I got to give a shout-out to the Immaculate Marinara pasta.
Pasta. Yeah, man, that was fun seeing – you know, seeing that blitz, that was That was fun seeing that. You know, like I'm a foodie in a way, you know what I mean? You know, that business, mm-hmm. the food business, and so I have fun with all that. yeah, man, that was cool. I said, well, I got to get me one of those.
Oh, we'll provide you plenty. Yeah. You give me an address, I'll send them all your way. You can run through them.
Oh, no, I can buy them. I'm fine. You know.
Ooh. Okay, and then last question. Your episode of Football Life premieres this week. Have you already seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
He seems confused. He didn't even know it's coming out, I don't think.
You know it's coming out this week.
Oh, okay. Like it is a Football Life. Okay. I didn't.
Yes.
Yeah. What do I know? You know.
Is there anything we need to be ready for when we watch it? Any inside access you could give us?
No, like not really. like I'm a plain, simple life. You know what I mean? It's all good.
Simple life, Super Bowl ring, yeah, rookie of the year, Pro Bowler, you name it. You were just out there doing it.
But you know, real simple. Hey, listen, I'm glad in the 70s, you know, that you know, we didn't have all this social media, have all this stuff and all this kind of, you know what I mean? But we had our fun also, you know, and you know, oh my God, we had discos and all this and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, man, if you would see some of the clothes we used to wear, we thought we were fly. Long collars, bell bottoms. Oh man, we were, you know, no, like it was a whole different era. It really was.
It was, you know, you guys still had your commercials. Mean Joe had his Coca-Cola commercial. You guys were still doing it big.
Oh my God. So we're at training camp, right? Mm. I knew nothing about Joe's commercial, right? So we're at training camp, and I'm seeing and noticing that Joe's being nice to people, and I'm saying, you know, and I'm confused, right? I'm saying, what the heck is going on? Joe's talking to kids. Joe is saying hi to their parents, and I'm like. And, you know, and like for a couple of weeks, I was really baffled. Then I heard the Coke commercial. And I said, okay, he did the Coke commercial and he was nice to that kid in that Coke commercial. So,
wow,
you know, but soon as that commercial was over, right back to Mean Joe. Oh my gosh, that was that was hard to figure out.
Oh, did you guys give him a good hard time after that?
Oh my gosh. we still do, but nice for a minute there. You know what I mean? He was nice for a minute.
He's always been great. You know, I love Joe. But Franco, I got to say, I appreciate you coming on today. Thank you for sharing so much with us. This is another episode of Not Just Football with our very special guest, Franco Harris. So excited for this week. You're getting your jersey honored at the game, and we got to make sure we take care of those Raiders this week. Make sure you stay warm.
Hey, well, Cam, I just want to say that it's great being on with you. I mean, I respect and admire your football plays so much. You know, I love to watch you play, man. You know, you bring me back to the 70s, I'm telling you. But as I told you in practice, you still wouldn't be able to touch me, man. No way.